the amendment that he put forth last year, he made, and this year, made it very clear that that he does not want mandatory prayers or prayers written by state officials, including school teachers. Rather, it had to be voluntary. And just 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, signed into law was the Equal Access Bill, which had first passed the Senate by an 88-11 vote, then the House by 337-77, overwhelming majorities, then signed by the President, which now allows religious children, Jewish, Catholic, Protestant, whatever, anybody, to use classrooms or facilities before and after school, voluntarily attended, of course, for religious purposes, which now gives religious children the same civil rights and citizenship rights that athletes and cheerleaders and history students and buffs and so on had before.
Yes, Reverend Falwell, but going back to prayer in school, there are many people who are concerned, people who perhaps do not belong to any organized religion, feeling that their children will be discriminated against because they'll either be made to partake in a prayer.
That's illegal, and the President would oppose that and did oppose it openly. And, you know, I was raised...
Or they will be discriminated against because they haven't taken part in the prayer.
Well, I was raised as an unbeliever, went through high school that way, in a school where Mr. Thomas Finch in the elementary school and other principals in the high school had chapel weekly, and ministers came in, and we prayed, and we sang hymns. My only real contact with God, and as I look back now as a Christian, it was then that I developed an appreciation and respect for the faiths of others, for God, for a supernatural being. And I look back on, and that was a public school, public schools, by the way. I agree with the President. I've never in my life, in spite of all the screaming and yelling of the secularist and the ACLU, I've never met a child in my life who was injured by exposure to a voluntary prayer, and that's all the President
wants. Well, I resent the fact that he's saying the screaming by the secularist. I am not a secularist, and I'm not screaming.
I wasn't referring to you. You're paranoid.
I'm making a reasoned argument that the Supreme Court settled this thing in 1962, and that time and time again they have said that prayer in schools has to be compulsory if it's organized, and they have regularly, as recently as this year, said once again that this is in violation of the First Amendment. And the President wants to change that by the vote of two-thirds of both houses and three-fourths of the states. And he's trying to intimidate those who disagree, and with all due respect, I think that Reverend Falwell is trying to intimidate them by saying they're all secularists who are screaming. The National Council of Churches, that represents all the mainline Protestants...
Oh, I beg your pardon, they don't represent me.
All right, the mainline, I said.
Okay.
They represent some 40 or 50 million people.
Well,
they are
million.
Opposed to any constitutional amendment, and I think that we have, we as believers or non-believers, have a right to resent the President misrepresenting this issue.
All right, Reverend Falwell, let me go back to something else that you just said. You said that you believe that whoever believes in Jesus Christ as a Savior will also attain heaven. They will find eternal happiness. There are religions that don't believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior. And so are you saying that those people who belong to those religions, such as Muslims and Jews, that they're not going to have eternal happiness?
Well, Sandy, it is the traditional Christian position, and this is not only Protestant, by the way, it's Roman Catholic also, but the traditional Christian position is that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. That is not anti-Muslim, anti-Jewish. It's universally pro-everybody because it is a message of redemption to all. And obviously, and we've answered this so many hundreds of times, as a Christian, I would preach exactly what Billy Graham preaches, exactly what the ministers, the Billy Sundays, and thousands today who believe in the inerrancy of Scripture and the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him.
And now, for your religious purposes, I would imagine that everyone listening to your reasons and your explanation now, they would say, Reverend Falwell, because of the country we are in, and we will defend his right, has the right to believe that in his religion.
Yes.
But if his religion begins to encroach upon the government in this country, then people who are Jews, people who are Muslims, all of a sudden start saying, this is becoming dangerous for me.
And I would agree with them totally, Sandy. I would never want to impose the doctrines of Protestant or Roman Catholic Christianity upon any government. When we talk about issues like abortion, as I see it, we're talking about the civil rights of the unborn. Just as 30 years ago we talked about the civil rights of the blacks, and 150 years ago we talked about slavery, the civil rights of minorities. When I talk about voluntary prayer, I look on it as a free speech issue, as a freedom of religion issue, and of course there are those who disagree. And we debate that, I hope, at a high level, sometimes maybe not high enough, with people all over the country. But I think the 81% in this country who agree with what I'm saying right now, by all the polls, are not foolish and radical people who want to impose their will. Many of them, by the way, are conservative Jews. Many would be not committed Christians at all, but who do believe in the reason in these positions for the same and different reasons that I do.
If I may add something, that it's very, very curious how some Christians, not all, are so wrapped up in this prayer in the schools. You know, it's 30 seconds or 60 seconds at the beginning of the day, and when I went to public schools, we had it, and I don't think that the presence or the absence of this compulsory prayer is that important. And when the churches say this has to be, it seems to me that they're begging the state that you have to do our work. Why don't they tell the parents, have a prayer with the children before they go to school, or when they come home, or at supper time?
We do, Father.
Well, I know that you do, but why are they so neurotic, if you will, about getting this school, getting this prayer back?
I'm not neurotic.
No, but you want the constitutional amendment, and you want to trample upon the rights of millions of people.
I beg your pardon. I believe that the 96% of the children in this country who do in fact believe in God are having their rights trampled upon. I'm not saying that 30 seconds is a tool of evangelism. To me, it is totally symbolism. And two things. Number one, it is the acknowledgement that we are a nation unto God. And the president was right in Dallas when he spoke to those 17,000 at that prayer breakfast, that speech that you memorized there. He was right. This is a nation unto God. And when we cease to be a nation unto God, in the words of the president, we'll become a nation gone under. And secondly, it is free speech. I'm not saying that every school should have prayer. I'm saying they should have the right to have it, and right now they do not.
Gentlemen, excuse me. Right now we have to take a commercial message. We'll do that. We'll return and continue this conversation, and we'll be certainly getting to more of your phone calls. Stay with us. Welcome back. Line one, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Mr. Falwell, I'm addressing this to you. My children go to school here in a large suburb of Columbus, Ohio. And at the beginning of the day, they're allowed to say a prayer if they choose. They're neither discouraged or encouraged. And it seems to me that in just talking this over with many friends that live in different parts of the country, the situation is somewhat the same in almost all public schools. You are allowed to pray on your own voluntarily. And instances where children are actually forcibly prevented and discouraged from praying in public schools are minimal at best. Why do we need a constitutional amendment to fix something that isn't broke when in other areas of the law, such as the Equal Rights Amendment, according to Mr. Reagan, if there are minor pockets of the denial of civil rights, let's deal with them through laws on a local level and where the rest of the country, where it seems to me children are allowed to pray if they choose to, leave it be. They are being provided with their rights.
I'm not aware of the school you attend, and I'm not aware whether you mean silent prayer or audible prayer. Is it silent or audible that you're talking about?
Are you still there?
I guess he's gone. It is true that you can silently pray anywhere. They can in the Soviet Union as well. Matter of fact, that's the first thing that a police officer tells a criminal when he's arrested. You have the right to be silent. But I don't think the Founding Fathers fought for the right to be silent. And at the same time, no one wants to offend the unbelievers or the unwilling participant. Participants' rights not to be involved, and the president simply saying that in many schools, and that is the fact, he is not informed on this issue, legally in many areas, the ACLU moves in immediately and challenges any kind of thing like he's talking about. If in fact what he is talking about is that at the beginning of the day, the teacher says any who wish to pray may do so, and there's a public prayer, voluntary, it's simply because some parent has not brought it to the attention of the American Civil Liberties Union, and then to the federal courts. When that happens immediately, regardless what the Supreme Court intended in 1962 and 63, that is exactly what does happen, that stops. Or the president simply wants to guarantee the fact that no school can cause a child to pray or prevent a child from praying audibly, as is now the case. At least that misinterpretation pervades the system, and any school principal or superintendent or school board member out there listening knows that is true. They're scared to death of the ACLU, the boogeyman of religious liberty in this country, against religious liberty, and we
Reverend Falwell, excuse me a moment. President Reagan, when he came into office and during the last election campaign, said that it was his intention to get government off the backs of people and to have the federal government not be so involved in their lives. Many people then question legislating morality. Isn't that putting the government back into people's lives on a very personal level, and one that the Constitution of this country never intended to be there in the first place?
Well, Sandy, as Father Drinan certainly can tell you, he's a jurist himself, all of civilized society is governed by the legislation of morality by consensus. That's why you can't kill or steal or whatever. And certainly you can go too far. For example, prohibition was an unenforceable thing, and so no law system is perfect. But in this country, the guarantee of civil rights, whether it be for the minorities of blacks, Hispanics, the unborn, or religious children, to pray, you can guarantee civil rights. And laws must do that, even though with some, of course, that's unpopular. Now, I don't feel that the president has violated his commitment to the people. In 1980, he got an 8.5 million plurality, and I think November 6th, and this can be decided on the morning of the 7th, and I'll be sitting somewhere waiting for you to call me, I think he will win by as large or larger a margin than this time, losing maybe Minnesota, Hawaii at the most.
Yeah, let me follow up on a question. The 23 states now have a minute of silence. The teacher has this minute of silence where the kids can pray or think about their girlfriends, and the United States Supreme Court is going to adjudicate the constitutionality of that come the spring. Reverend Falwell, if they okayed that, would you say that's an acceptable compromise, that children can, in fact, must have, in some states, a minute of silence, and that that's an acceptable compromise? Would you drop the cry for a constitutional amendment for prayer?
No, and here's the reason. First of all, equal access is a wonderful step in the right direction. It doesn't bother me a bit that some bring up, well, the Moonies are going to leap in on that. They're going to have a meeting. Fine, I'm willing for my God to compete against anybody else's God. I think that you'd feel the same way, and so as far as that point is taken. Now, that is a step in the right direction. But the right to be silent is not, you know, you have that same right anywhere in the world, including in Marxist countries. In this country, free speech to me is an absolute essential. And it isn't a question of if, it's a matter of when, because the court, for example, the next 4 years, you well know that Mr. Reagan will likely make 2 to 5 appointments to that
after court. You, after you get the prayer back, then you want the Bible back, I suppose.
No, sir. I've never asked for that.
Okay. Thank you.